Well, everybody, welcome to episode 171 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right. Well, last week we previewed the girls basketball postseason, and congratulations to Ankeny Centennial on qualifying for next week's state tournament. We'll be talking to one of the Jaguars players here in a little bit, but tonight we're going to focus mostly on the boys basketball postseason. We'll be talking to players and coaches from both Ankeny and Centennial, and we're going to both start and finish the podcast with a couple of the Hawks since we weren't able to line them up at the same time. But anyway, my first guest is the head coach of the ninth-ranked Ankeny squad, and he has guided the Hawks to a 17-4 record. His team will host Sioux City West in a Class 4A Substate 1 semifinal on Friday. He's Brant Carlson. Brant, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks again for having us.
Hey, you bet. Well, your counterpart on the Ankeny girls team, Drew McAnally, told me after the Hawkettes win on Saturday in the regional semifinals, you know, how tough it was for his team to have 8 days off between games. You guys have had a full week off now since beating Des Moines North in your regular season finale, and that's obviously not your normal routine, you know, during the season. Yeah. So have you had some good practices this week, and do you feel like you guys, you know, have been able to stay sharp?
Yeah, this is our favorite time of year. I think having all of our coaches involved in practice from our, you know, ninth and 10th grade teams is very helpful. And those guys sit on our bench all year, but not in our practices. So it's just great to have some more eyes and maybe even some different voices. So I think our practices have always been sharp at this time of year. We really enjoy this process. The big thing is, how do you simulate, you know, game, you know, speed stuff. So that's tough to do. But I think our guys are ready, certainly, ready to compete. So our guys are always, sharp, you know, so we'll see what happens.
Well, your team will open the postseason at home against Sioux City West, which advanced by defeating Sioux City North on Monday for the third time this season, 64-58. Now, did you or anybody on your staff go up there to scout that game? Do you feel like you have a pretty good handle on that team?
Yeah, we do. I mean, it's like anything else. You know, there's a lot of film out there, and I drove over there on Monday and watched and, you know, fought through some ice and made it in the middle of first quarter and all that kind of stuff. So it's always worth, you know, our time to go look and see what teams are like. They're a very athletic team and give us a lot of challenges, you know, and their record's going to be misleading, I think. You know, they play in a league that's, you know, very competitive, and you know, where our guys are going to have to play. We talk a lot about playing possession by possession versus the team and their record. Right now, everybody's 0-0, so, you know, you got a lot of work to do.
Well, yeah, the record is 7-14, and three of those wins were against a North team that, you know, won just two games. So on paper, you know, it certainly looks like a favorable matchup for you guys. But I'm sure one of the things that you're trying to guard against is having your team overlook them, right?
Of course. I think you look around the state, even last night, there was multiple upsets, big upsets. And it happens because you don't respect the game of basketball and you don't respect your opponent. And I think our guys are definitely versed in you know, how not to get into that mindset. So I'm very confident our guys will compete and play well and play hard and kind of let our team and what we do well play out.
Well, West has a lot of 6'3" guys, but nobody taller than that. And you guys have, you know, certainly been able to take advantage of your size and strength down low in a lot of games this year. So I'm guessing that part of your game plan will be to, you know, pound the ball inside.
We try to. I mean, that's something our guys are good at. Multiple guys can do it. You know, at the end of the day, we got to shoot the ball from the perimeter, you know, as we have lately. And I think that's always a help, stretches defenses out. And the big thing for us, I think, though, is just trying to win possessions. You know, with the other team scores, or if they hit a shot that you feel like they shouldn't have been able to hit, you can't live there. You got to continue to move on. And, you know, we'll just keep encouraging our guys to stay tough and stay together and just, again, win every possession.
Are you guys healthy right now? I know you brought back Carson Johnson the last game from an injury. I hope you haven't had any injuries in practice or anything.
No, it's been fine. I mean, I think, you know, there's some general soreness and things along that line, you know, that are kind of bothersome. But at the end of the day, you know, our guys are ready to go, and Carson feels great, and real, real pleased.
Well, West does have a couple of very talented juniors. One of them is Kevlon Hayes, who is averaging about 17 points and 6.5 rebounds per game. He leads the Wolverines in just about every statistical category. He had 21 points and 8 boards on Monday. Now, he doesn't shoot a lot of threes, but when he does, he makes about 40% of them. So he must be a pretty versatile guy.
Yeah, he's an outstanding athlete. I mean, he's probably the best athlete we will have faced all year. Football player, just really strong. And his team plays around him really well. So it's just going to be one of those interesting games. We've played a lot of teams like them in Fort Dodge and East and North and Lincoln, guys that have really quick feet and guys that play hard. But at the same time, I think there's things that they do, that we can take advantage of because of that, because they're so kind of one guy dimensional. So that'll be a challenge. He's definitely a challenge. We got some guys that are going to go for it.
Their team's second leading scorer is the other junior I was talking about, and he would have to be a member of the all-name team, I think. He is Lamarian Mothershead, who is averaging 12 points, and he leads West with 42 three-point goals. You know, so he appears to be their other key weapon, doesn't he?
He is good. Yeah, very good. And got a couple shooters on the wings. Grouse, number one, and number 23, I don't remember his name right now. But they can spread it out a little bit. And but, again, it's just a lot of one-on-one battles we got to win. And again, that whole, I kind of say a lot of things over and over, but the bottom line is it's just that winning possession by possession, not getting caught up into a game situation where they feel like, you know, man, these guys are lucky. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, they're good athletes and a good team. And so just got to play hard and focus in on the little things that we worked on this week.
Now, do you think they'll try to come in and push the pace against you guys? I can't imagine they'd want to get into a half-court game with you.
Yeah, they're going to run. I mean, they're going to press us too. And they're going to do what they do. Obviously, their coach is a good coach, and he's done a lot of – been in the AAU circuit a long time, and they definitely have some guys that know how to get up and down. So if we can control pace, again, rebound on both ends of the floor and defend with purpose, I feel really good about our chances.
Well, the winner of your game will advance to the sub-state final on Tuesday, where the opponent would be either Sioux City East or Waukee. Now, you guys posted a 7-point win at Waukee last month, so you're already familiar with the Warriors, mm-hmm. But that game will be played at East due to the Black Raiders' 16-5 record. You know, do you give Waukee a shot to go up there and win?
Oh, of course. I mean, they have the toughest schedule, you know, if you go by the BC Moore stuff, and we look a lot at that, and their toughest schedule in the state, them and Dowling. So, I mean, they've been battle tested all the way through, got great shooters and underclassmen guys and are not going to be afraid of anybody. So definitely give them a chance if they're healthy, and that should be a great game.
Well, I know you're not looking past tomorrow night's game, but I did want to get your thoughts on that potential matchup. You know, if your team is able to advance, if Waukee is able to pull off the win up there, you know, that might make your preparation a little bit easier, wouldn't it?
It always does if it's a familiar opponent. You know, at the same time, you know, it's the postseason is so different. You know, it really is about how you're playing versus even how the other team is playing. I think if our guys can start 1-0 and get a little momentum going, some confidence, I think it's a really good key for us. But, it, you know, two years ago we had to play Sioux City East. It's kind of a similar thing. We got a couple guys who went through that. So I think our guys will be, you know, ready to compete no matter what.
Well, in that earlier meeting at Waukee, the Warriors were able to stay in the game by relying on their outside shooting. They made 12 of 31 three-pointers, but you guys just manhandled them on the boards. You out-rebounded them by a 40-21 margin. So I'm sure you'd have to like your chances, you know, to dominate the boards again if you were able to play them.
Of course. And I think we've become a better defensive team overall in taking away certain things. You know, I think as the year progressed, we've really challenged them with some things, and I think our guys are flexible in who they can guard, and that'll definitely help us. And in that game too, you know, we missed a ton of free throws down the stretch, and we've really improved in that area too. So that could have easily been a double digit win for us on the road. So yeah, our guys are very confident this time of year and just looking forward to the challenges.
Yeah, that's right. I think you missed, what, like 8 in a row in the fourth quarter,
yeah,
or something like that?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've looked too hard at the Sioux City East yet, since there's no guarantee that you'll even play them. But, yep. You know, that is a team that, like you mentioned, you saw them in the sub-state final a couple years ago, back in 2020 when you guys, you know, won that state title. But you had to overcome an 8-point deficit in the third quarter of that game up there at Fort Dodge. I'm sure some people, you know, probably forgot about that.
Yep.
I mean, that's a talented team. A couple of those guys are back from that team, aren't they?
They are. And they have a lot of length, 6'8", 6'6", and they're just used to winning. Sioux City East has always been winning for a long time, and the Vanderloo coaching staff, the family of Vanderloo, has been a part of that program for many years, and they're not afraid of anybody, and they've been at state multiple times too. So it's a team that you got to just understand you're going to have to fight it out for 32 minutes, and it'll be a dogfight once again if we get a chance.
Well, that team 2 years ago had a 20-point scorer in Jalik Dunson, but this team appears to have a lot more balance. I think they have four players averaging in double figures, led by B. Rule, I think is – how you pronounce, yep, it. He's at 13 points a game. Preston Dobbs comes off the bench most of the time. He averages about 12 points a game. Yep. So they got a lot of guys that they can go to, don't they?
They do. And, you know, their 6'8 kid is a shooter for them, and they 6'2 guy is more of their post-up guy. And they just have a lot of flexibility that they can do defensively in their zone and kind of matchup zone stuff and pressing and just change defenses all the time, which they did 2 years ago as well. And they just give you a lot of looks, you know. So as a high school kid, sometimes you can get caught up in that, you know, the smoke and mirror kind of situation. But I think at the same time, if we just be us, I think we'll be just fine in the sense of be physical and rebound and get downhill and get to the free throw line and, you know, make it more of a physical game.
Now, if you were to play them, do you just assume that game would be at Fort Dodge?
That's what we've been told, essentially, that it would be there. I'm not sure if we've heard anything else. You know, I don't know how that'll all play out.
Yeah.
But
I don't know where else they would have it that would be.
Well, I know we've heard that Johnston's sub-state is going to be playing Atlantic, if you can believe that.
Oh, really?
You know, so it'll be interesting to see what the state does.
Well, just like East, you have a couple of guys who are back from that team. Ryan Crandall and Braden Simonson, of course, played a key role a couple of years ago. You know, those guys have a lot of tournament experience. You know, they've been through the wars on the football field as well. Yeah. You know, do you feel like the experience that those guys have is going to be, you know, beneficial for your whole team?
We always hope so. You know, at the end of the day, I think all of our guys have been seasoned in different ways. You know, last year, a lot of our young guys played in the sub-state game too. So it's, you know, they've had football or in basketball and just different experiences, I think, to collectively give themselves confidence. And that's, at the end of the day, you love to have a group that's focused that way, not worried about the moment, just more focusing on what their job is. And, you know, I think that's really plays out well for us.
When you look at Class 4A as a whole, Ames was the number one team most of the season. And, of course, the Little Cyclones handed you guys two of your four losses. But Ames did lose a couple of games down the stretch as Taman Lipsy sat out with an injury. Now, it sounds like he'll be back for the postseason. So would you still consider the Little Cyclones to be the favorite to win it all?
Yeah, absolutely. I think until someone proves it otherwise, they are the team, you know, and that's a challenge. I think Waukee Northwest finished the season very strong. Valley's hasn't lost since who knows when. So it's, you know, CIML is going to be well represented, I think, the state tournament again. And wouldn't be shocked if one of those teams win.
Well, Ames could have a tough matchup in the sub-state final against either Centennial or Hoover. Mm-hmm. And it looks like there are some other intriguing matchups that could materialize. You know, Valley and Cedar Falls could hook up. Waukee Northwest could see Indianola. I mean, there's going to be some really good teams that aren't going to make it to state, isn't there?
Every year, doesn't it? And it's just interesting how that happens. I know, you know, that's what our conversations today were for Coach Mack and his team. You know, when you look at how many teams at state he beat, you know, or they beat this year, and it's just the way our state is. It's, you only get eight teams there, you know, and that's unfortunate, and a lot of good teams are competing. So, yeah, it's going to be a toss-up, and it'll be exciting.
Well, it should be a fun postseason. I'm looking forward to it. Brant, good luck tomorrow night. I'll probably see you there.
Appreciate it very much. Thanks.
Yep. All right, my next guest is a junior guard for the Centennial girls team, and she has helped the third-ranked Jaguars to a 20-3 record. Last night, she scored a game-high 16 points as Centennial defeated Sioux City East 46-41 in a Class 5A regional final to earn a second consecutive trip to the state tournament. She is McKenna Clark. McKenna, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on the win last night. How does it feel to be going back to Wells Fargo Arena?
It feels very good. Very exciting feeling. It was a great game, so yeah. Glad we pulled off a win.
Well, certainly wasn't an easy game for you guys. Of course, Sioux City East was the team that shocked Caitlin Clark and Dowling Catholic mm-hmm. in a regional final 2 years ago. And I think three of their current players saw some action in that game. So I'm sure Coach DeYoung let you guys know that, you know, this was a team that you couldn't overlook, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, that's with every team with him. He says, I mean, it could go either way. So he prepares us the best he can.
Well, I watched the game online last night after I got back from the Ankeny game, and Sioux City East was clearly a team that liked to push the pace and take a lot of chances defensively as far as, you know, putting pressure on the ball and getting in the passing lanes. Mm-hmm. You know, I imagine that was kind of a tough team to prepare for, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Our scout team did a great job, but, like, I mean, that's their thing, defense in their zone. They really like to push us and make the pace of the game go a lot faster, so they did a really good job of that.
Well, you entered the game averaging 5.9 points, but it didn't take you know, even a full quarter to surpass your average. You scored all seven of your team's points in the first quarter. You had a three-pointer, a short jumper, and a driving layup. So were you looking to be more aggressive offensively last night, or did you just kind of take what was there?
I was looking to be more aggressive and just go with what they were giving me. In practice, I've been working a lot of just penetrating the gaps because when, I mean, you get into the lane, a lot of things open up. So just getting into the lane helped a lot and just give our team open looks and stuff.
Well, East held a 10-7 lead at the end of the first quarter, but you guys opened the second period with an 11-0 run. You held a 22-14 advantage at halftime. You know, were you guys feeling pretty comfortable at halftime? Did you feel like you had the game under control?
Yeah, I felt like we went in spurts, but at halftime, I mean, we just said that we needed to keep the pedal down and not let them back into any runs. And, you know, so, I mean, we felt pretty good at halftime. We just knew that we needed to come out really good in the third quarter for the first few minutes.
Well, after Kennedy White scored the first basket of the second half to give you guys a double-digit lead, East did come back, and they pulled within 30-28 after three quarters. The Black Raiders then had three chances to tie or take the lead in the final period, but they couldn't convert. And then Cleo Murray hit a big three-pointer to give you guys, you know, a little more breathing room with about 5 minutes and 45 seconds left. You know, that was a big basket, wasn't it?
That was a really big basket. I remember I was on the bench, and I saw her shoot that, and I was very excited for her. And that just gave us a big, big boost, especially, I mean, going into, like, the fourth quarter and just, yeah, it was good.
Well, you and Cleo combined to score all 16 of your team's points in the fourth quarter. You made 5 of 6 free throws down the stretch, and then Cleo hit 4 straight in the final 7.8 seconds to seal the win. Overall, you guys went 15 of 18 at the line, and your team had been shooting about 67% from the line. So is that something you guys have been practicing a lot lately, your free throws?
Yeah, we do a lot of free throws at the end of practice especially, but now getting to these big games, we really know how important free throws are. So I know it was a really good feeling to see majority of our free throws go in.
Well, McKenna, you've certainly had some big games this year. Back in December, you scored a career-high 22 points in a win over Fort Dodge. Mm-hmm. You had 5 three-pointers and 21 points in the first half alone of that game. Mm-hmm. Then on January 11th, you played a huge role in your team's 57-37 victory over Ankeny. You poured in a game-high 20 points. You know, but after scoring 13 points in a win at Fort Dodge, shortly thereafter, you then averaged just 3.7 points over the last 9 games, and you failed to reach double figures in any of those games before, mm-hmm. The one last night. So have you been struggling a little bit with your shot recently?
I just know that I've been playing a different role on the team and being more of a facilitator and getting our offense going. I mean, Cleo Murray, she's been a hot hand recently, so really looking to get her the ball and get her the looks that she needs to get. So, I mean, yeah, I'll take the shots that are there, but I've been struggling a little bit with my shooting, so it was kind of good to see some shots go in, especially last night.
Yeah, Cleo's really, really been on a roll. Mm-hmm. I think she had 4 20-point games here in the last month, so I'm sure you want to get her the ball.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, of course, your team was really on a roll as well. At the end of the regular season, you guys reeled off 12 straight wins, and you put yourself in position to win the outright conference title before you guys lost that rematch mm-hmm. to Ankeny. Do you think you guys learned some things from that loss, and do you think maybe that loss will be good for you guys in the long run?
Oh, for sure. I mean, we obviously weren't very happy about it, but coming out of it, I mean, we know the losing feeling, and we know that we don't want to, feel that again. So especially going to last night, we knew that, that feeling was not good. So we did not want to end our season there. So, yeah, it taught us a lot.
Well, now we can look ahead to the state tournament a little bit. I know you guys didn't practice today, so I realize that you haven't probably, dove into the scouting report mm-hmm. yet. But you guys will play number 6 Waterloo West in the quarterfinals on Monday at 3:15 p.m. West advanced with a 75-52 win over a Southeast Polk team that you guys defeated by 7 points early in the season. Do you know much about the Wahawks?
I know a few of them just from summer ball and AAU, and they're a really talented and skilled team. They have good guards that have been playing really well this season, and it'll be a good, really good game.
Well, Waterloo West is making its 3rd straight trip to state. Yeah. They lost to Waukee in the semifinals 2 years ago, and then last year they were upset by Iowa City West in the quarterfinals. But they've had an outstanding year. Thus far, they're 21-2, mm-hmm. and they were ranked 2nd for most of the year. Yeah. And both of their losses came to Iowa City High, which is also qualified for the state tournament. They're coached by Anthony Pappas, who, I don't know if you know this or not, McKenna, but he's been there for a long time. Coach DeYoung has had a lot of battles with him over the years, even going back to the 1990s. Does Coach DeYoung, does he ever talk about some of those games from way back then?
Not really. I mean, he'll bring some stuff up, but he doesn't really talk about the past a lot to us, but yeah.
Well, back in the old days, Waterloo West had a couple of great players named Nina Smith and Jillian Goring. I don't know if he'll bring up those names this week or not, but one of them was 6'7". You probably don't see too many players that are 6'7".
Not often.
Well, most teams have one player that maybe you can focus on shutting down, but I noticed in the stats that West is a rare team that has two players.
They have some girls I know that...
Well, one of the guards you mentioned, Haley Polk, is averaging mm-hmm. 23.7 points, and she's made 46 three-pointers this season. Sahara Williams is averaging about 20 points, and both of them are Division I recruits.
Yep.
So you have played against those guys in AAU ball before?
I played against them in some camps and stuff, and I've seen their team play. And, they're really good, well-rounded players, so it'll be good. And I know they have a few other role players on their team that could really step up, so we need to really focus on them too and make sure they don't have good games.
Well, if you guys are able to get past Waterloo West, you would then meet number 2 Roosevelt or number 7 Valley in the semifinals on Thursday, and you haven't played either of those teams this mm-hmm. season, but you have in the past, so you're obviously familiar with them. Roosevelt, of course, defeated Ankeny on a buzzer beater last night to qualify for state, and then last year the Rough Riders had an 18-point lead over you guys mm-hmm. in that regional final before you rallied to win, so I'm sure they'd love to have another crack at you guys.
Oh, yeah, trust me. They would. They would love it.
Well, I think that'd be a very good matchup, too, because their team is a lot like your team.
Yeah.
I mean, they have 4 or 5 really good guards mm-hmm. pass the ball around a lot.
That would be a good game. That would be a really, really fun, intense game.
And then, of course, on the other side of the bracket is number one, Johnston, probably the favorite to win the title. You know, the Dragons really haven't had any close games, you know, in the final seconds this year. You guys played them about as tough as anybody.
Yeah.
You had a lead with about 2 minutes to go over there before they, you know, went on a run and won that game 48-39. But I'm sure you'd love to have a chance to play them in the final.
Oh, we would love to play them in the final. That's the goal, to get there. But we have to take it one game at a time, obviously. And I have a lot of confidence in us that we can do it. So,
what do you think it's going to take for you guys or anybody else to knock off Johnston?
Just being aggressive and, I don't know, all knowing our abilities and being confident and, like, playing as a team as we've been doing recently, which has been really good, especially starts in practice. And, yeah, just playing as a team and playing confident.
Well, I brought this up to Coach DeYoung, but of course, back in 2016 when Centennial won the state title, they made it all the way to the final and they knocked off a number one Johnston team to win that title. Yeah. So I'm sure you guys would love to see that happen again.
Oh, we would love it.
Well, it should be a fun state tournament. Looking forward to it. McKenna, good luck. I'll see you down there.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, my next guest is the head coach of the 10th-ranked Centennial boys team, and he has guided the Jaguars to a 12-9 record thus far. His squad will host Des Moines Hoover in a Class 4A Substate 2 semifinal on Friday. He is Bob Fontana. Bob, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Thanks, Dan. Doing all right, fighting that winter weather out there right now.
I know. Can't wait for this stuff to end. Well, hey, Bob, you guys had a busy week to end the regular season last week. You played three games in five days, which probably wasn't ideal, but now you've had a full week off to get ready for the postseason. You know, I know some coaches don't like to have that much time off between games, but you know, considering the tough stretch that you guys had last week, and I know you were dealing with some injury issues, did you like having a full week off?
Yeah, yes, I did. We were able to give the kids a couple days off and then come back and just focus on ourselves and then get ready for Hoover the last couple days.
Well, your team will open the postseason at home against Hoover, which advanced with a 75-43 victory over Fort Dodge on Monday. Now, did you or anybody on your staff, go scout that game? What did you think of the Huskies' performance?
Well, yeah, we went and watched them play on Monday night, and we were well aware of, what they do and what their capabilities are. We just wanted to go and see if they were doing anything any different, and everything looked the same. So it just comes down to execution.
Well, Hoover is entering the game with a 15-8 record. And, of course, one of its losses came to you guys, 50-41 on January 18th at Centennial. But the Huskies' leading scorer, Chase Henderson, didn't play in that game. He averages 23 points a game, and he had 28 points on Monday. He went 11 of 16 from the field. He also had 8 assists. So you probably can't put too much stock in that first game against Hoover, can you?
Well, yes and no. I mean, that night we didn't play what I'd consider our best basketball. And since then, I think that we have improved. But also we're well aware that, that he didn't play and we're going to have to do a good job of just keeping him under control the best we can.
Well, Hoover has another standout junior, Elijah Voss, who averages about 15 points a game, and they pretty much run their offense through those two guys, don't they?
Yes. Everything runs through those two guys, their base offense, their specials, everything they do. If you charted their offensive possessions, I think there would be very few possessions where those two weren't touching the ball.
I know Henderson missed six games, I think, due to an appendectomy, but he has since returned to the lineup. And, Hoover showed what it was capable of earlier this month when it beat Ankeny 53-51 on a buzzer beater in overtime. I'm sure that result caught your attention, didn't it?
Yeah, it sure did, and there's two good teams going at it. And, Hoover played very well that night. And like I said, when you get Henderson back, that just gives them that extra piece that they need. And when he's the point guard, obviously he's got the ball in his hands a lot, so... Yeah, caught our attention, but we'll be well prepared for anything they throw at us.
Now, the winner of your game will likely have to play Ames in the sub-state final on Tuesday, assuming Little Cyclones can beat Mason City. Now, I know Ames lost a couple of games down the stretch when Taman Lipsy sat out with an injury, but you expect him to be back tomorrow night, don't you?
Well, I think you would be mistaken by not preparing for him to be back. I think he'll be back.
Well, you guys are certainly very familiar with Ames. You lost to them twice this year. You also lost to them last year in a sub-state final at East. And that would be a huge challenge to try and knock them off, but I'm sure you guys would love to have that opportunity, wouldn't you?
Oh, you bet. You get a win tomorrow night and move on. And, And when you get to the sub-state final, anything can happen. I brought to our kids' attention tonight, the number one and two teams in the state in 2A are no longer playing. And the number one team, the team that beat them last night, they beat them by 52 points a month ago, and they got beat by them last night.
Wow.
So yeah, you know, those kind of things get my attention, and I hope it gets our kids' attention, too. You got to be ready to play on any given night against anybody, and you don't assume anything.
Well, yeah, that sounds a little different than the girls' tournament, where last night all the higher-seeded teams in Class 5A won and got to state. So.
Yeah.
Well, Lipsy's such a hard player to defend because, you know, he brings the ball up the court, and unless you double-team him and force him to give up the ball, I mean, he's got the ball in his hands, and he can probably do whatever he wants, right?
Well, yeah, you just try to keep him under your wraps and keep him under control the best you can. And, you know, and here's the thing. They got other weapons, too. Like last year in the sub-state final, we held him to 10 points, but the LeBeau kid had 19 points and 9 boards, and then the one senior guard, Brooks, that graduated, he had 14 against us. So, you know, you can't just focus just on him because they do have other weapons.
Oh, for sure. Well, I suppose you weren't too thrilled, you know, to be placed in the same sub-state with Ames, but, you know, there are just so many good teams out there that you had to be placed in a bracket, you know, with someone. And I was looking at some of the other brackets, and there's going to be some really good potential matchups in the sub-state finals. You know, how did Valley and Cedar Falls get placed in the same bracket?
Great question. You know, I talked to other coaches around the state, and, you know, everybody basically has the same questions. How'd those two get stuck there? Our sub-state is the same as last year with the exception of one team. They just took Indianola out and put Mason City in. So I don't know, you know, what the thought process was by the association this year and how they went about putting things together. But, yeah, there are some sub-states that are so-called loaded with the top three or four teams in each sub-state, and there's a couple other sub-states that there's an easy path.
Yeah, that Valley-Cedar Falls game, I mean, that could be like a state tournament semifinal, I think.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Well, you guys have certainly had some ups and downs this season. You got off to a 3-6 start after having a brutal early schedule, but then you reeled off 6 straight wins before losing a close game at Ames earlier this month, which was the first game that Lipsy sat out. You know, and then you went 3-2 down the stretch, which easily could have been 5-0. You just had a couple of overtime losses there to Ankeny and Urbandale. And I know you felt like, you know, you guys let that Urbandale game slip away, but it's a new season now, you know, and that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, everybody's 0-0. And you know, going back to when we were 3-6, you know, we just said, hey, we've been through a tough stretch here, and hopefully we got better because of it. And I thought we did a good job of refocusing, and I thought our kids started doing a better job of playing together on both ends of the floor, and that's led to us, you know, our successes. And, yeah, even though we lost those two games, especially that Ankeny game, I thought we did some really good things. The Urbandale game the other night hopefully is a good lesson to be learned, that you got to play a 32-minute game and not a 20-minute game.
I know you guys played that Urbandale game without Jackson Snyder, who kind of re-injured his hip earlier in the week, and we'll talk to him here in a minute. But, you know, how's he doing? Is he ready to go tomorrow night?
Well, I think so. You'd have to ask him, but, yeah. I mean, he looks good to me. And, you know, he's been playing very, very well, and we missed him the other night, not only from his production that he's been bringing to the table, but also just from his leadership standpoint.
Yeah, I think he's averaged like 16 points a game over the last, you know, 7 games. And you really need him to get to where you want to go, don't you?
Well, yeah, him and everybody else. I mean, the other night, that void that we didn't have, you know, I thought it affected us in 3 different areas. So we're glad to have him back. But everybody else has to do their job, too.
All right, Bob. Well, it should be a fun postseason. I'm looking forward to it. I'll see you there at the game tomorrow night. Good luck.
Sounds great. Thanks, Dan.
Yep. Well, my next guest is a senior guard for the Jaguars. He is averaging 11.3 points and 2.8 rebounds per game, but he has really raised his level of play down the stretch. Like I just mentioned, he's averaged 16 points over the last 7 games, including a career-high 26-point effort in his team's overtime loss at Ankeny 2 weeks ago. He is Jackson Snyder. Jackson, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Yeah, appreciate it, man. How you doing?
Doing good. Well, we just talked with Coach about how you're doing physically. You know, let's get an update from you. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling great. You know, I've been in physical therapy the last couple of days, resting up. You know, taking care of my body, you know, feeling good for tomorrow.
Well, I was looking back at the stats from that last Hoover game. I noticed that you went scoreless in that game, and then it dawned on me that was the game where you initially got hurt, mm-hmm. because then you sat out the next 3 games. So how did you get hurt in the first place?
It was really just falling on it in practice. I was diving for a ball. I fell on it, aggravated my glute med, and I had a little inflammation in my hip. So it was kind of, you know, pinching one of my nerves. So it was just one of those injuries. You just got to chill out, rest a little bit, and, you know, take care of your body and comes with time.
Well, then when you return to action, you're definitely playing your best basketball this season. You had that great game against Ankeny where you went 4 of 10 from three-point range. Then you followed that up with a 23-point game against Marshalltown just 3 days later where you went 4 of 7 from behind the arc. You know, was that a stretch where you just felt like, you know, every shot you were taking was going to go in?
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, basketball is a really mental game, so being able to sit down and, you know, watch the game from a different perspective on the bench really made me, you know, kind of take a step back and not get too ahead of myself. So when I came back, it was easy for me to, you know, feel confident in myself.
Well, I didn't realize it at the time, but I guess you took a hard fall in that Marshalltown game. And then the next night at Des Moines North, coach said that you were struggling a little bit and he eventually took you out. And then you did sit out that regular season finale at Urbandale last Friday when you guys lost in overtime. I'm sure that was a tough game to sit out. Was it to watch your team out there on the court and lose a tough game like that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in those tight games, you know, I always wish I was out on the court finishing the game, you know. But, I mean, I had all trust in them going into it, and it just didn't fall our way. So.
Well, of course, you guys had a little bit of momentum going. I'm sure you would like to have, you know, won that game to keep that momentum going.
Right, yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. Like Coach said, though, it's 0-0. You know, there's no rankings on the board. Now anybody can win.
Well, you said you've been going to physical therapy. I don't know a little something about that. I was there myself today. But have you been able to practice much at all this week?
Oh, yeah. Last 2 days, I've been full go. And 3 days ago, I was limited minutes, and I didn't practice Monday. But otherwise, I've been good.
Well, I suppose at this time of the season, it's probably more about the mental preparation than anything, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Well, Jackson, you guys are 7-1 this season when you hold your opponent to fewer than 50 points, and that includes the earlier win over Hoover. The only game that you lost when you allowed to less than 50 points was the 44-37 loss at Ames a few weeks ago. So I'm sure you'd like your chances to win that game tomorrow if you can hold Hoover to under 50 points, wouldn't you?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, at this point in the postseason, you know, everybody can score the ball. Everybody knows everybody can score, but it's a defensive side that's going to win us games in the postseason, and that's what we really need to focus on.
Well, we talked to the coach about how, you know, they didn't have Chase Henderson in that earlier matchup. You know, he's obviously a really good player. So what's going to be the key to shutting him down?
You know, just limit his touches and aggravate him, get the ball out of his hands, and make other people handle the ball.
Well, we also talked with the coach, you know, about the potential for another matchup with Ames in the sub-state final if you can win tomorrow. You know, what was your reaction when you first saw the sub-state bracket and that you'd probably have to go through Ames to get to state?
I mean, it is what it is. You can't do much about it. So you kind of just have to take it day by day. You know, you can't overlook Hoover first. So, you know, we're just preparing for Hoover. You're going to make the most out of tomorrow, and then we'll prepare for Ames.
Well, you had 15 points in that loss at Ames when you took the little Cyclones down to the wire before losing by 7. Now, I know Lipsy didn't play in that game, but can you guys still take some confidence away from that game because you did play him so tough?
100%. I mean, obviously you can't, you know, overlook them without Taman or with Taman, but they're a great team regardless. So with Taman, you know, there's a lot more things you do have to focus on, but without him, you know, it's the same team, so.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you'd love to have another opportunity to play against Lipsy. In that first meeting this year at Centennial, he had 19 points and 8 assists in the little Cyclones 58-38 win. You know, do you think there are some things that you guys could do differently this time to slow him down if you get that chance to play him again?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like our offense sometimes gets rushed, and, you know, it leads to bad defensive possessions. So I feel like if we can slow our offense down and, you know, focus on valuing possessions, it can be a different game.
Well, I know we can't get ahead of ourselves as far as that matchup goes because you do have a tough one tomorrow. That should be a good game. I'm looking forward to it. Well, hey, good luck tomorrow night. I'll see you there.
Yeah, appreciate it, man.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, my final guest tonight is a junior post player for the Ankeny boys team. We talked to his coach earlier tonight, and now we're going to talk to him. He's come off the bench in all 21 games this season, but he's been one of the most productive Hawks, averaging 10.6 points, 6.1 rebounds. He's also one of the state's top football recruits in the class of 2023, so we're going to talk a little bit about how his recruiting is going. He is J.J. Cole. J.J., thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, you bet. Well, you guys earned the number one seed in your sub-state bracket, so that allowed your team to get a first-round bye as well as a home game in the second round, but also gave you a full week off between games since the end of the regular season. Have you guys been able to keep your intensity up during practice this week?
Oh, yeah, definitely. This week has been very productive. We've been very... You know, we've gotten into drills that are allowing us to, you know, prepare new drills that we really haven't been able to do this season. Really excited for this matchup tomorrow night. I feel like we'll be ready. I mean, having a first round bye is definitely helpful. You know, we've scouted them a lot, and I think we're going to be ready.
Well, we broke down the matchup against Sioux City West with Coach Carlson earlier, and you guys have obviously been focusing on them in practice the last few days. What do you see as the key to this matchup?
I think the key to this matchup is coming out fast and you know, not letting them stay in the game early. I feel like we were very dominant in the post, getting rebounds between me and Brayden Simonson. I feel like if me and him are dominant down low, get a lot of rebounds, I feel like we could get them out of the game early. They don't have many big guys. So I feel like if we get a physical dominance down low established, I feel like that'll be key to win the game.
Well, yeah, I mentioned earlier that Sioux City West has a bunch of 6'3 guys, but nobody taller than that. You know, so you're going to have a 5-inch height advantage on anybody that, you know, that they have guard you. So you kind of licking your chops, you know, for this game?
A little bit, yeah. No, I'm really excited for this matchup this Friday.
Well, JJ, you've been playing some of your best basketball this season down the stretch. You've reached double figures in 5 of the last 6 games, and you're averaging about 12 points during that stretch. Do you feel like you're pretty locked in right now?
Yeah, I feel like these last couple games have kind of hit my groove, hit my stride a little bit. I've gained more confidence. I feel like that's helped me, you know, just being out there on the court.
Well, Coach told me last week that your role is to come in off the bench and provide some instant offense, and that you've really succeeded in that role. Now, I know most players like to start, but you certainly seem to have adapted to that role. Do you like coming in off the bench?
Yeah, I have adapted to that. You know, at the end of the day, I'm going to do whatever is best for the team, and I just want to win games. So if that means playing 2 minutes or if it means playing the whole game, I mean, at the end of the day, I just want to get wins, and hopefully at the end of the day, we get a ring.
Well, I know Coach doesn't want you guys looking beyond tomorrow night's game, but I did want to touch briefly on what the matchup would be on Tuesday. If you guys are able to come out on top against Sioux City West, you would play either Waukee or Sioux City East in the regional final. And, of course, you're already familiar with Waukee because your team posted a 65-58 win on their court last month. You had 6 points and 6 rebounds in that game. You know, do you remember much about that game?
I do remember a lot about that game. That was a big win for us, I feel like. You know, that wasn't an easy win. Waukee is definitely a really good team. They could be anyone. So I feel like, you know, if we play, hopefully we got to get past tomorrow first. But saying if we do, Waukee or Sioux City East, that's going to be a tough matchup.
Well, we talked with Coach about how you guys, you know, won the rebounding battle against Waukee in that game 40-21, but that really wasn't anything out of the ordinary. You know, your team has so many big and physical guys that you really seem to have the edge inside against most teams, don't you?
Yeah, we definitely do. I mean, in practice, you know, we got a lot of big guys, me, Brayden Simonson, Ryan Crandall, Leo. I mean, we get after it, and, you know, every day in practice we're making each other better, so I feel like that helps us.
Now, if you would play Sioux City East in the sub-state final, you know, that's a team that you probably haven't prepared for yet. So do you know much about them?
Not much. I mean, we're kind of really focusing on tomorrow first. And we'll as time progresses, if we would win tomorrow, then we'd definitely look more into that. But we're taking one game at a time right now.
Well, you guys have certainly had a great season. 2 of your 4 losses came to Ames, which was the number 1 team in Class 4A most of the season. 1 of your losses came to Waukee Northwest, but you later went over to Northwest and avenged that loss in a big way. And your only other loss came in overtime at Hoover late in the regular season. Now, I think a lot of people feel like the state title is Ames' to lose if Taman Lipsy is healthy. But do you feel like your team is capable of cutting the nets down in a couple of weeks?
I definitely feel like we have the opportunity to. I mean, a lot of guys on our team right now are hitting their stride. I mean, we've won a lot of big games recently. I mean, you look at all those losses, we've just come out slow in every game. So I feel like that'll be the biggest thing for us, is to come out fast and, you know, make a statement early.
Well, JJ, let's talk a little football now. You're rated as a 4-star quarterback in the class of 2023. And I've been trying to keep up with your tweets when you've been announcing your latest offers. I think Mississippi State, Memphis, and Kansas were the latest schools to offer you. So how many offers are you up to now?
I believe I'm up to 13 now.
13, all right. Well, I know you've had a chance to visit some of the schools that have offered you. Are you planning to take some more visits in the spring?
Yeah, I'll take some spring unofficial visits pretty soon after basketball season. Basketball season is what I'm focusing on right now. But after that, I will go out and see some places I haven't seen yet. So I'm really looking forward to that.
What would you say are the biggest things that you're looking for in a school?
There's a couple things. I'd say the most important thing for me is the people. I want to be around people who are like-minded, people who want to win, people who are excited to see me every day, people who want to develop me. I'd say people is the biggest thing. And then I'd say being around an offense that fits my skill sets. I'd say that's an important thing as well. I want to go somewhere where the offense aligns with my skill sets. And then I want to go somewhere where I could see myself possibly playing early. You know, I don't want to – I mean, at the end of the day, my biggest goal is to go to the NFL. So if that means, you know, playing 1 year, my senior year, and getting that chance to go to the NFL, I'll take that. But ideally, I would like to go somewhere where I could play early.
Sure. Well, some schools, you know, like Iowa, are well known for running a pro-style offense, and I'm guessing, you know, most, if not all, of the schools that have offered you, you know, run some version of a pro-style offense, right?
Yeah, I'd say most of the schools that have offered me run more of a pro-style offense.
Because, yeah, I'm guessing you're not going to go to some college to run the triple option, right?
Yeah, that wouldn't make too much sense.
Wouldn't make much sense for a 6'8" quarterback. Well, do you have a timetable for making a decision? You know, would you like to commit before your senior season starts?
Yeah, definitely. I plan on being committed before this summer. You know, if that means being committed after taking these spring visits, then I'll commit then. But if it means committing the day before summer, that means when I'll commit then. You know, that's what I prefer on being committed by. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm doing a lot of homework. I'm investigating a lot about these schools. And whenever it feels right, I'm going to pull the trigger and, you know, commit somewhere that I feel like I could, you know, see myself being successful in.
Well, there are so many factors that go into this recruiting game. I mean, I was just reading in the Register today that I guess you've kind of crossed Nebraska off your list because they already had another quarterback commit to their program, and that's something else that kind of goes into it too, which schools have offers to other quarterbacks and who commits when, right?
Yeah, so the quarterback position, I mean, recruiting for quarterback positions generally is a lot different than other positions. Usually schools will only take one quarterback per class, so that kind of accelerates things. Guys want to commit really early. I mean, if you look at the 2023 QB class, I mean, there's numerous guys that are already committed. So that kind of accelerates things. But I am very fortunate to have a decent amount of offers where I don't have to feel as rushed as other kids. You know, if a kid decides to commit to one of my schools I have an offer from right now, you know, I still have schools that I'm still looking at just in case something like that would happen. So I'm very fortunate and very blessed to be in the position I am in. And, you know, I don't take that for granted any day.
Well, I think most people in Ankeny know that your father, Jamie, was a standout kicker at Iowa State. You know, do you think you would like to follow in his footsteps and become a Cyclone, or is he trying not to steer you in any direction?
At the end of the day, he just wants to go somewhere. He wants me to go somewhere where I want to go. You know, he doesn't really, I mean, I don't know if he, in the back of his mind, wants me to go to Iowa State or not. I would guess he does, but, yeah, he's helped me a lot along this process. He's guided me along this process, and which has been amazing. I mean, he went through the process himself. You know, he sees kids like me every day that go through this process through his kicking camps. So I'm very fortunate to have him. At the end of the day, you know, if I go to Iowa State, I feel like that would be kind of a cool thing to do, you know, go somewhere where my dad went. I don't know if that will be my decision. You know, I'm still taking all this in right now. And as more schools, you know, decide to offer, you know, I still have to evaluate those schools. So, like I was saying earlier, I do plan on being committed sometime before the summer. But I am doing a lot of homework right now and a lot of investigating behind the scenes, and I'm trying to find the best fit for me.
Well, yeah, your dad, of course, you just said that he runs the well-known Coles kicking camps, and you're wearing one of his sweatshirts right now. And I'm sure when you were younger, he probably tried to get you interested in kicking the football. So how old were you when he realized that maybe you had a brighter future throwing the football instead of kicking it?
So I was a kicker and punter all the way up until, freshman year. Freshman year, I was a kicker and punter. But after that, it got kind of hard to do all of it. I can't kick anymore. I got too big of feet. Surprisingly, kickers, they have small feet, so that doesn't work out for me. But I can still kind of punt on the side. There'll be some times in practice where I'll just punt, you know, when I feel good. But, yeah, I mean, I am very fortunate, like I was saying earlier, to have him. He has made a lot of sacrifices for me. It's not always easy doing what he does, but, you know, I am very fortunate to have him.
So you're saying that if in the future, if you're back in the shotgun formation, like in a fourth down play, you could probably punt it if you had to, huh?
I probably could. We might actually do some of that this year, but you know, I'm really excited for the future.
Well, hey, JJ, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. It'll be fun to watch you guys in the postseason, and it'll be fun to follow your football recruiting as well. So, hey, good luck tomorrow night.
I appreciate that.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Ankeny boys basketball coach Brant Carlson and junior post player J.J. Cole. We had Ankeny Centennial coach Bob Fontana and senior guard Jackson Snyder, as well as junior guard McKenna Clark of the Centennial Girls team. I appreciate the time from all of those folks. And come back next Wednesday for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. We'll probably be focusing mostly on the girls tournament, especially if Centennial wins that first game on Monday, because then they'd be playing again on Thursday, so we'd want to preview that next matchup. But it should be a fun week regardless. We'll also have the Tuesday night boys sub-state finals if both Ankeny, or if either Ankeny or Centennial wins tomorrow night. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.